Welcome to the Story Mine. I'm Kathy Barker, and I'm here with my co-host,
David Bullock. Last week, we featured Telltale Tales, stories about animals with tails. And we got so much positive feedback. Even our bareback riding bronco busting neighbor said that he got a tear in his eye from one of the stories. We really do appreciate your feedback. This week, we're featuring a very talented storyteller who recently was one of the headlining national tellers at the Weber State University Storytelling Festival.
Ed Stivender. He is able to entertain preschool-age children all the way to the oldest of listeners.
Ed's a prolific storyteller with a broad variety of tales. The Miami Herald has called him the Robin Williams of storytelling. He left his job in 1977 as a school teacher and began storytelling full time.
This week, we are featuring Jack Tales, as only can be told by Ed Stivender. We'll let Ed tell you what a Jack Tale is.
Here's Ed.
Anybody know a story about Jack? Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack and Jill. Jack and the Candlestick. A lot of stories about Jack. Well, this is a story about Jack when he tried to do what his mama said, but sometimes got it wrong.
Jack and his mama lived on one side of the village. On the other side of the village, there was a prince and a princess living in a castle with their father. Let me tell you about the prince and princess. They were very sad. All they did all day long was put their head on their palms, look out the window, and feel sorry for themselves. They never talked. They never laughed. And their father announced that
anyone who can help my children laugh and speak will receive half of my kingdom.
Meanwhile, Jack's coming home from work. He's been working all day. He's got a quarter for his pay. He's tossing it up and down as he's crossing over the bridge. All of a sudden, the quarter pops out of his hand, falls off the bridge into the water. He'll never see it again. He runs home and he says, "Mama, Mama, Mama, I worked all day, got a quarter for my pay. I was tossing up and down and fell into the river. I'll never see it again."
"Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander at."
Want to try that line with Jack's mama? You guys have been so good with the participation here. If you want to really get into it, you can put your hands on your hips, but you don't have to, you know. The First Amendment protects your right not to assemble and speak and participate. Anyway, Jack, you're the silliest goose I ever took a gander at.
"Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander at." When you get something like that, you're supposed to put it in your pocket, carry it home in your pocket.
"All right, Mama, put it in your pocket. I'll remember." Next day, Jack got another job of work. What he got paid for this day's job of work is a nice glass of milk. "Put it in your pocket." "All right." So Jack put the milk in his pocket, started walking home. You know what's happening to the milk, don't you? He gets home, he says, "Mama, look what I got. A empty glass. Mama, I worked all day, got milk for my pay. I did what you said. I put it in my pocket, but it all sloshed out."
"Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander at."
When you get something like that, you're supposed to balance it on your head. Balance it on your head and bring it home. "Balance it on your head and bring it home. All right, Mama, I'll remember." Next day, Jack got another job of work. What he got paid for this day's job of work is a nice pound of butter. "Put it on your head. Carry it on your head." "All right." So Jack put the pound of butter on his head and started walking home. The sun is shining down on Jack's head. You know what's happening to the butter, don't you? He gets home. He says, "Mama, Mama, Mama, look what I got. A greasy butter head." "Mama, I worked all day, got butter from a pay. I did what you said. I put on my head, but it all melted."
"Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander at." When you get something like that, what you're supposed to do is wrap it in green leaves and cool it in the river.
"Wrap it in green leaves and cool it in the river. All right, Mama, I'll remember." Next day, Jack got another job of work. What he got paid for this day's job of work is a nice cat. "Wrap it in green leaves and cool it in the river." All right, so Jack went down to the river, started wrapping the cat in green leaves. The cat does not appreciate this at all. He starts scratching Jack up, runs off into the woods. "Mama, Mama, I worked all day, got a cat for my pay. I did what you said. I'm wrapped in green leaves, tried to cool it in the river, but it scratched me up and ran away."
"Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander at." When you get something like that, what you're supposed to do is tie a string around it and lead it home.
tie a string around it, laid it home. I'll remember, next day you got another job of work. What do you get paid for this day's job of work is a nice hunk of meat. Tie a string around it and lead it home. All right. So he tied a string around the meat, started dragging the meat back home. Every dog in the neighborhood's coming up behind Jack, taking chunks of the meat as he's walking home. He gets home, he says, Mama, look what I got. An empty string. Mama, I worked all day, got meat from a pay. I did what you said. I tied a string around and lead it home, but them dogs got it.
Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander. When you get something like that, what you're supposed to do is carry it on your shoulder. Carry it on your shoulder home.
Carry it on your shoulder. All right, Mama, I'll remember. Next day, Jack got another job of work. What do you get paid for this day's job of work is a nice donkey. Carry it on your shoulder. All right. So he got under the donkey and started carrying the donkey home on his shoulder.
Well, he's crossing in front of the castle where the sad prince and the sad princess live. And they look out the window and they see the strangest sight they've ever seen. There's a boy walking down the road with a donkey on his shoulder. They try not to laugh because you know how good it feels to feel sorry for yourself sometimes, but they can't help themselves. They start laughing. Daddy, daddy, come on here. There's a boy walking down the road with a donkey on his shoulder.
The king comes in, sees the children are healed. Hey, boy, come here. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble with the king. Yes, sir. You're not in trouble with me, son. You cured my children. I'm going to give you half of my kingdom. Oh, boy, wait till my mama hears about this. He runs home with a donkey on his shoulder, runs in. Leaves the donkey outside, says, Mama, the king just gave us half of a kingdom. But here's the problem. I know how to carry a quarter. I know how to carry milk. I know how to carry butter. I know how to carry a cat. I know how to carry meat. Not sure about the donkey. But how in the world am I ever going to carry home a half of a kingdom?
Jack, you are the silliest goose I ever took a gander. When you get something like that, it's a lot like a donkey. You don't carry it. You let it carry you.
And they let that half a kingdom carry them into a ripe old age where they're still living happily ever after.
When I first came to the National Storytelling Festival, I had 5 stories. Now I have 6. And here's one of them, one of the 5. It's sort of my signature story. I don't know if you've ever seen my signature, but anyway, this is this. Howdy, my name's Jack. And I'd like to tell you a story about one time when I went out to seek my fortune. I said to my mama, Mama, I'm going out to seek my fortune. She said to me, you be careful, Jack. You don't talk to no strangers and you take good care of yourself. I said, don't worry about me, Mama. I'll be all right. So I started down the road to seek my fortune. Well, I got down that road about a mile or so when all of a sudden I heard a terrible mournful sound. Went like this. Turned around the corner and there, sure enough, standing by the side of the road with his head hung low and his big gray eyes feeling sorry for himself, was an old mule. I said, howdy, Mr. Mule. What seems to be the problem with you this morning? Mr. Mule looked up at me with his sad gray eyes and went, oh, Jack, my master says I'm too old to be of any use to him. So tomorrow he's going to take me to the glue factory and have me be made into glue. I said, Mr. Mule, we can't let that happen to you. I've got a great idea. I'm going out to seek my fortune. And if you've a mind, you can come too. Old Mr. Mule perked up his eyes, perked up his ears, and he came along with me. So now there were 2 of us walking down that road to seek our fortune. With me in the front, followed by... We got down that road about a mile or so, and all of a sudden I heard a terrible mournful sound. It went like this. Turned around the corner, and there, sure enough, sitting by the side of the road, with his head hung low and his big brown eyes feeling sorry for himself, was an old dog. I said, howdy, Mr. Dog. What seems to be the problem with you this morning? Mr. Dog looked up at me with his sad brown eyes and said, oh, Jack, my master says I'm too old to be of any use to him. So tomorrow he's going to take me to the Humane Society. There ain't nothing humane about that. But Mr. Dog, we can't let that happen to you. I've got a great idea. Going out to seek my fortune. Mr. Mule's gone with me, and if you've a mind, you can come too. Well, old Mr. Dog perked up his eyes, perked up his ears, and he came along with us. So now there were 3 of us walking down that road to seek our fortune. With me in the front, followed by... followed by... We got down that road about a mile or so, and all of a sudden we heard another mournful sound. Went like this. Meow. Meow. Looked up in a tree, and there was old Ms. Cat looking down at me. Said, howdy, Ms. Cat. Seems to be the problem with you this morning. Ms. Cat looked down at me with her sad green eyes and said, oh, Jack, my master says I'm too old to be of any use to him. So tomorrow he's going to put me in a burlap bag with some stones in it and drop me to the bottom of the Nolichucky River. Meow. Said, Ms. Cat, we can't let that happen to you. I got a great idea. going out to seek my fortune. Mr. Mule's gone with me, Mr. Dog's gone with me, and if you've a mind, you can come too. Well, old Ms. Cat perked up her eyes, perked up her ears, jumped out of a tree. She came along with us. So now there were four of us walking down that road to seek our fortune, with me in the front, followed by, followed by, followed by, meow, 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 meow. We got down that road. All of a sudden, we heard another mournful sound. It went like this. Cock-a-doodle-boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Cock-a-doodle-boo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Turned around the corner, and there, sure enough, standing on a fence post by the side of the road, with his big beady eyes feeling sorry for himself, was an old rooster. I said, "Howdy, Mr. Rooster. What seems to be the problem with you this morning?" Mr. Rooster looked up at me with his sad, beady eyes and said, "Well, fucking Jack. My master says I'm too old to be of any use to him. So tomorrow, he's going to have a rooster stew for dinner, and I think I'm going to be the guest of honor." Said, "Mr. Rooster, we can't let that happen to you. I've got a great idea. Going out to seek my fortune. Mr. Mule's gone with me. Mr. Dog's gone with me. Miss Cat's gone with me. And if you've mine, you can come too." Old Mr. Rooster perked up his eyes, perked up his ears, his teeny little ears, and he came along with us. So, now there were five of us walking down that road to seek our fortune, with me in the front, followed by, followed by, followed by, meow, 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 followed by, cock-a-doodle yahoo, cock-a-doodle yahoo. We got down that road about a mile or so, and all of a sudden everything started getting real dark. The moss was hanging off the trees into our faces. The path was getting smaller and smaller. I figured we were goners when all of a sudden came upon an old ramshackly house by the side of the forest. Sneak up on the house, looked in the window. There we saw on the kitchen table a pile of gold coins piled all the way to the ceiling. I said to my friends, "Friends, this must be the house of some robbers who have gone back downtown to get some more loot. Let's go inside and see how much money they got." So we sneaked around to the front door, opened it. Sneaked inside, started counting up on the money. Well, we had that money about half counted when all of a sudden we heard another mournful sound. It went like this. "Har, har, 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 har. We are the robbers. We're very, very mean. We're the meanest robbers that you've ever seen. When we find someone that we don't like, we kick them in the stomach and we steal their bike." I looked out the window, and there, coming up the path, were 10 of the meanest, ugliest-looking robbers I'd ever seen in my life. The shortest one of them was 8'8". The tallest one was 13'3¼". He was so mean and ugly, his face looked like hamburger. I said to my friends, "Friends, we're in big trouble. Ms. Cat, would you hide in the fireplace?" And she did. "Mr. Dog, would you hide in the cupboard?" And he did. "Mr. Mule, would you stand by the front door?" And he did. "Mr. Roosegum, inside the chimney?" And he did. I stood back in a dark corner to see what would happen. And the meanest, ugliest-looking robber of them all came up to the front door, slammed it open, walked inside. It was too dark for him to see anything, and he walked over to the fireplace to blow on the old embers to get some light. And he blew right into Ms. Cat's face. Well, Ms. Cat opened her eyes. You know how cat's eyes glow in the dark sometimes? He figured it was the glowing embers, and he blew twice as hard right into her face. Well, she couldn't take it any longer. She took out her claws and went for his eyes. Just then, Mr. Dog comes out of the cupboard, starts chawing on his leg. Well, he goes for the front door, just as Mr. Mule gets him right in the woo, and down the path he goes. Mr. Rooster says, "Cock-a-doodle, woo, cock-a-doodle, woo." That old robber took up on down the road, got his nine friends. They kept running and running and running. We ain't seen hiding or hair of them since. Me and my four friends walked back inside that place, divided the money by five, took my share home to my mama, had a real good Christmas that year. My four friends, they decided to stay on that old place, made a real nice farm for themselves too, with carrots and corn and potatoes. As a matter of fact, if you ever get up real early in the morning and listen real close, you might be able to hear my rooster friend saying, "Cock-a-doodle, yahoo!"
All right, well, I'm in an Irish mood today, so this time we'll go to Northern Ireland. You get a chance to hear my phony Northern Ireland accent. This story is told by Billy Tear, a wonderful storyteller from Ireland, Northern Ireland, who's been here a couple of times at the festival, and it's about Jack. Now, in the stories about Jack, sometimes he seems to be pretty foolish, and in this one he's foolish, but it's not his fault. Jack has a trouble with his memory. His long-term memory almost doesn't exist, but his short-term memory is very good. In fact, the short-term memory is the only memory he has. He can only remember what he's just heard, basically. And so one morning, his mom said, "Jack, I want you to go down to the butcher's and get some liver and kidneys." "All right, Mama."
liver and kidneys, liver and kidneys, liver and kidneys. So Jack went down to the butcher's, walked into the butcher's shop and said, liver and kidneys, please. So the butcher wrapped him up a nice package of liver and kidneys, put a little string around it, gave it to Jack. Jack put it under his arm, started walking home. He's crossing over a bridge, and there, sure enough, he sees a fella under the bridge that looks a lot like himself. And that fella also has some liver and kidneys. And Jack's leaning over, maybe to make conversation with the fella, when all of a sudden, the liver and kidneys falls right out of his hands into the water. When Jack is ever up on the mountainside, lost, he can yell out to his brothers, Will and Tom, come up! Will and Tom, come up! So he figures it might work with the liver and kidneys. So he yells down, liver and kidneys, come up! Liver and kidneys, come up! Now there's a man who is a little bit sick under the weather from a bad night of drinking that he has had the night before. And when he hears liver and kidneys come up, well, you know what might happen. Liver and kidneys come up! The man gets sick. He jumps on the bridge and starts hitting Jack over the head. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What did I do wrong?
You shouldn't have said, Jack, liver and kidneys come up. Look what you made me do. Oh, I'm sorry. What should I have said? What you should have said was, Mother never come up. Mother never come up. Oh, Mother never come up. Mother never come up. All right, I'll remember that. And he's walking down the road. Mother never come up. Mother never come up.
Well, there is a farmer sowing grain in his field. Jack yells out to the farmer,
Mother never come up. Mother never come up.
Farmer grabs his hoe and starts running after Jack, hitting Jack over the top of the head. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. What did I do? I made a mistake, huh?
I'll say you made a mistake, Jack. You're cursing my field. You shouldn't say, may they never come up. You should say, 1 down today, 100 down next year. 1 seed down today, I'll have 100 to put down next year.
All right, 1 seed down today. 1 down today, 100 down next year.
That's right.
1 down today, 100 down next year. 1 down today, 100 down next year.
There's a church over there. Jack sees the church, and outside there's some people dressed in black looking very sad. Jack yells out to the funeral party,
1 down today, 100 down next year.
The entire funeral party starts running after Jack, hitting him over the head. I'm sorry, what did I do wrong?
You shouldn't curse the race, Jack. You shouldn't say 1 down today, 100 down next year. I'm sorry, what should I have said? What you should have said, may they rest in peace. All right, may they rest in peace. May they rest in peace, I'll remember that. May they rest in peace. May they rest in peace. Oh yeah, may they rest in peace.
Well, up the road towards Jack comes a farmer who has taken a cow to the slaughterhouse. He's got the cow on a tether, and Jack yells out,
may they rest in peace, may they rest in peace.
The farmer starts running after Jack, hitting him over the head.
I'm sorry, what did I do wrong this time?
Jack, a cow doesn't have a soul. There's nothing for a cow to rest in peace. I'm taking this cow to market to be slaughtered.
Well, then what should I have said?
What you should have said was, hang the old cow. Hang the old cow.
All right, I'll move. Hang the old cow. Hang the old cow. There's another church on the other side of the road. And outside that church, there's a lot of happy people with one beautiful girl dressed all in white.
Hang the old cow. Hang the old cow.
Well, the entire wedding party starts running after Jack, hitting him over the head. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What should I have said?
What you should have said, Jack, was, may they be happy there together. May they be happy there together. May they be happy there together. All right. May they be happy there together. May they be happy there together. He's walking down the road, and there's a big ditch, and a donkey has fallen into the ditch. The master of the donkey is trying to get the donkey out of the ditch. And Jack says, may they always be happy there forever. May they be happy there forever. May they be happy there forever.
The fellow jumps out of the ditch and starts hitting Jack on the head.
I'm sorry, what did I do?
You know what occurs to me, Jack, to be happy with my donkey in a ditch. What you should have said was, 1 out, 2 out.
There's one of me out now. In a minute, I hope, there's going to be 2 out. 1 out, 2 out. All right, I'll remember that.
Walking down the road, 1 out, 2 out. He sees a fella coming up with an eye patch.
1 out, 2 out.
The fella with the eye patch starts hitting Jack over the head.
I'm sorry, I did something wrong. What did I do?
You don't want to curse my other eye, Jack. I only got the one eye. 1 out, 2 eye. One out, two, whatever. What'd you say? 1 out, 2 out? Well, it's a foolish thing to say. 1 out, 2 out.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to curse your eye. What should I have said?
What you should have said was, may it never go out. May it never go out.
All right, I'll remember that. May it never go out. May it never go out. Jack smells smoke. And sure enough, there's the squire's house on fire. He runs up and says to the fireman, "May it never go out! May it never go out!" The firemen take Jack and they throw him inside the window of the burning house. Jack's sitting in the window, inside the window of the burning house, and he hears, "Help me! Help me!" He opens a closet door, and there is a young woman, the squire's beautiful daughter. "Help me! Help me!" "I'll help you," says Jack. He grabs her, throws her out the window. One out, two out. And out the window he goes, and there's the squire with his beautiful daughter hugging her. And she's kind of sweet on Jack. "Jack, my daughter is kind of sweet on you." "Oh, I'm kind of sweet on her. Would you like to marry her, Jack?" "Oh, I'd love to marry her. And may we always live there happily ever after."
Stories, stories everywhere. Stories in the earth, stories in the air. Stories to gather and stories to share, telling stories from our own backyard. Once there was a man who wanted diamonds, spent all his time just hunting diamonds. When he came back from traveling far, he found diamonds in his own backyard. Stories, stories everywhere. Stories in the earth, stories in the air. Stories to gather and stories to share, telling stories from our own backyard. Young John Chapman of Massachusetts loved to grow apple trees, and that's the truth. It's easy to see why they called him Johnny Appleseed. He made America his own backyard. Stories, stories everywhere. Stories in the earth, stories in the air. Stories to gather and stories to share, telling stories from our own backyard. So dig up the stories while you can, and grow some of your own in this storytelling land, till every woman, every child, every man is telling stories from our own backyard. Stories, stories everywhere. Stories in the earth, stories in the air. Stories to gather and stories to share, telling stories from our own backyard.
Well, that's the end of the Story Mine for this week. Why don't you all go out and dig up some stories and share them in your backyard? We want to thank Ed for being our featured storyteller today. If you'd like to learn more about Ed Stivender, go to edstivender.com.
Goodbye.